Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
From the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center, this is the Boston Bastard Brigade, live at PAX East 2012.
All right, this is Blulonic. We're at 2K Games here, checking out Spec Ops: The Line. We're here with Walt Williams as the lead writer.
Hi.
And Corey Davis as the lead designer. I got that right, right?
Yeah, you got it right. First time. Amazing.
Yes, yes.
I'm doing much better now. All right, so one of our first questions that we kind of wanted to feel, I don't know if you guys are able to answer this one or not, but what was it about Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness that made 2 Games want to adapt this story to the Spec Ops?
Well, I mean, the first thing you got to realize is this actually isn't our attempt to adapt Heart of Darkness or Apocalypse Now. This is it was certainly an inspiration when we were beginning to work on the story, but this is a story entirely on its own. It's easy to draw the comparison because the conceit is very similar. You have a man going into a very wilderness-type area looking for this lost soldier, this kind of grander figure. But whereas Apocalypse Now and Heart of Darkness were about Kurtz, kind of unpeeling the layers of who that man is, Spec Ops: The Line is always been the story about the squad and about who the player is, of Captain Walker and his squad, Lieutenant Adams and Sergeant Lugo. With Spec Ops, it's always been, we've wanted to tell a personal story about what happens when you put a really good man into an increasingly bad situation and what you're willing to sacrifice, both as the character and as the player, whether it be to complete the mission, save other people's lives, or even just to save your own life. The reason we ended up really looking to this film and book for inspiration is because we were looking at war films from the 70s and 80s, how they kind of elevated the genre from just being John Wayne punching Nazis to being movies like Full Metal Jacket and Platoon, where you had men coming back from actually serving in the war and wanting to tell stories about what it's really like over there. And we felt that with video games and military shooters in particular, we had kind of in the past few years capped out at this kind of summer popcorn blockbuster level where you're just always saving the world from a made-up nation or terrorist group. There's going to be a nuke somewhere, and you're just a faceless soldier and fighting lots of enemies. We wanted to tell a war game that was more about the soldiers, not about the conflict, more about the horrors and the emotional weight of going through combat than just saying, hey, you're in combat, have fun.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, I also was thinking about the movie Tigerland. That was also a very good movie.
You bring that up. I love Tigerland. It's hard to believe that was Jerry Schumacher.
Yeah.
The guy who did Batman and Robin that everyone hates. Like, he did Tigerland. That's and right. It's such an amazing war film. And it doesn't even take place in war. The entire thing's in basic training.
Yeah.
In Fort Polk, I believe, Louisiana, where I'm from.
Oh, fantastic.
Not Fort Polk, but Louisiana.
Yeah, I can understand because of the fact is they were trying to get, they were going into war, but they're like, this is bullshit. Why don't we go jump off a train while we're drunk and break our legs so we get out of it? But yeah, I can understand that. Now, our second question here that we want to go is, what is the meaning, you know, behind the line? You know, are we talking about drawing a line in the sand, or what did you guys want to do with this kind of setup? Do you want to take this one?
Sure. So the line is more the symbolic meaning behind this journey that these characters are on. We invite the player, actually, to approach that line in the gray area between what he's willing to do to survive and his mission objective. And so we really sort of, like, the Heart of Darkness really was sort of that foundation that invited us to explore a lot of these darker, more emotional themes. And the line is sort of our expression of that. Obviously, Spec Ops means we're a military shooter, and we are, but we're a different type of military shooter that really focuses on this dark journey that these characters are on as they approach that line of what they're willing to do in order to survive.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds almost like a cop-out answer to say the line is really whatever you need it to be, but in this game it is. In many ways, the line is that gray between white and black that really, when you think about life, we tend to actually inhabit more. There is very rarely very strong absolutes, especially in war and in combat. I mean, no matter what side you're on, we in our daily lives, we do at least realize now that war is horrible for the people fighting it on either side. And for me, really, when it gets down to the themes of this game, I would say the line is really the line that separates our expectations versus reality. And is that, for me, this is the biggest theme in the game. When you look at, you have the city of Dubai. This is a place where a city never should have existed. And these men, just with money and power, said, I'm going to build whatever I want. I don't care if it's practical. I don't care if it's even inhabited. I want to build a 17th century French city, stone by stone. I'm going to recreate it. That's actually there in Dubai. Yeah. I don't know if it's actually used for anything, but it's there. And in our world, the desert has retaken it. Their expectations were they could do this. The reality was that they could not. And then you have Conrad, who said, I'm going to help these people. I'm going to get them out. I'm a hero. I can do this. And he was unable to. He made the situation worse, and now they're trapped. And then you have Walker, who was just supposed to go in, see if there's anyone alive, leave the city, call for an evacuation team. But he says, no, I can stop this. I can make this better. And how is his reality going to be next to his expectations? And by mirroring this theme over and over in the game, our hope is that players are going to think more about who they are. Who do I think I am when I sit down to play a game? And at the end of it, who am I really? Is how I play a game, does that say anything about who I really am? And that's kind of, for me, that's really the line at its absolute purest for Spec Ops.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the line in the sand, though. Like, it really does have a lot of meaning, this part of our title. You know, we follow a line of, you know, a journey that these soldiers are on that goes into on this road that's in Dubai called Sheikh Zayed Road. So that's sort of a landmark that we follow. And it is. It's a line in the sand. And the further we get into that line, and as we're walking the line, essentially, with these characters, the darker it gets and the more maddening it gets. And so, you know, we have this element of nature, and you mentioned sand, that's really reminding us how temporary we are. And, you know, that's something that really comes into play the further you get into the game. You end up in these sandstorms that are really tearing apart, ravaging the city, transforming the environment. And all of these things enter the psychological sort of spaces in the characters' minds, and that's expressed in all the events in the game.
I mean, yeah, especially with the sandstorms and whatnot, those are things that if you're not prepared for those things and they come up on you, they could tear flesh from bone. That's basically what it says. And from what I was taking from what you guys were saying is that when I played Army of Two, the 40th Day Initiative, when they had that whole setup where they could give you two paths. One was you did good, but still shit came from it. Like, there was still bad stuff that kind of came from it. Like, you saved, you know, one person, but when they went back, they offed a bunch of other people or they did something that was even bad. So no matter what, when there's that blurred line, shit will go wrong no matter what you do. What you think is right is really wrong, and what is wrong is really right.
Yeah, one of the interesting things is that we really have this element of ambiguity throughout the story. And so the enemy is not someone who's villainous and very well defined as an evil being. We wanted the player to sort of think before he pulled the trigger. And, you know, that just goes into really pulls the player, I think, deeper into the experience and makes all those combats have context behind them and makes them a lot more interesting.
Yeah. And with the choices in the game, we wanted them to be very organic out of the narrative. Like, you're an outsider in this world. There were events happening before you came here. Many of these things would have occurred whether or not you were in them. And so the choices aren't, they don't stop the game and pop up because they're just about, hey, you, hero guy, you better make a decision now. These are things that other people are doing that you are coming upon. You can you have the chance, you know, sometimes you have a chance to study it. Wait before you insert yourself into it. Try and figure out what's really going on, what you could possibly do to change the outcome of it. Figure out what the consequences might be. You're not always going to be aware of what the consequences are, or what even what your choices are. Sometimes they'll be told to the player, or to the character, more accurately. Someone will say, the character will say, I can do this or this. But really, the player can do so many other things. Because really, with these questions, we're not asking, we're asking, would you do what a video game tells you to do? Or will you do what you're comfortable doing, what you want to do? We've been focus testing and showing this game to journalists for a while. And in the first hands-on, we had a journalist get to one choice in the game, and he stopped and he turned to Corey here and he goes, what do you want me to do? Because as gamers, we've been trained to think, what's the best choice to get the best result, to get the best ending kind of a thing?
Damn walkthrough stuff.
Exactly. This game is not like that. No matter what you choose, you're not going to get a better weapon or more faction points. You're going to see the consequence of your actions, and then you're just going to have to live with them, much like the characters in the game.
Now, the question that's on our mind is why Dubai? Like, of all places that you picked and whatnot, I mean, I know that we've had to deal with Desert Storm and Operation Freedom and all that other fun stuff with the oil war going on, basically. But now, why would Dubai be, like, one of those special places that would just get, either sandstorm or whatever would cause this line, in the sand to, go up against one another in the military aspect?
Well, there's a lot of different reasons why we chose Dubai. I mean, first of all, to me, this is the place where the most amazing architecture on the planet exists. This is where the man's ambition is expressed more than any other city on Earth. To me, this is the place. This is our modern day Giza Plateau. These are our pyramids. These are the things that people will be talking about 1,000 years from now, wondering how we stretched our technology to do these massive, amazing projects. And so, also, Dubai is really in a unique location. It was built because someone wanted it to be there, not because it really makes sense from an environmental perspective or anything like that.
In Las Vegas, like...
Sure. Sure, and because of that, we're able to sort of tell a very personal story that these characters are embarking on, this journey, in a location that's cut off from the political environment of the rest of the planet. Because really, Mother Nature has once again reminded us how temporary we are and has sort of turned this into a no man's land. So we're able to focus in on the experiences that these characters are having rather than, 50 different global events that are, somehow coming into play from different perspectives.
Yeah, it kind of, that's what I felt with a lot of, the Call of Duty and Battlefield. It's like, you finish one little mission, you pop off to another part of the world, and you're kind of like, I can't even remember who the hell I was just 2 seconds ago. So, yeah, I can feel you on that one. I like the fact that it won't be attention deficit disorder kind of type game. It will be one straight character, you'll know who he is, and you'll go along with it.
One more thing on that, Dubai is so amazing. We wanted to portray it in all its grandeur. It gave us the opportunity to do beautiful visuals. We have a very vibrant color scheme. We really wanted to show it with all that, shining glass and marble and gold. But then also there's this twist that the city's been, filled with millions of tons of sand. These cataclysmic sandstorms have ravaged the region. And that really adds this amazing contrast. It really pushes it to a whole otherworldly type of perspective. And we really enjoyed playing around with a lot of the elements that provided us, like uncertain ground, walking on top of sand dunes that are covering skyscrapers. You might fall through the glass roof in that sand dune and end up in an entombed hotel lobby that's just opulent and pristine like the day the sandstorms hit. So Dubai is just full of contrast. Around every corner, you're finding something new and amazing. And this element of sand really comes into play in the gameplay as well later on.
I mean, from what I was playing and stuff like that, and also because I switched between the King Baby Duck over here and myself, we were able to see the awesome graphic design, especially with the helicopter chase and whatnot. It was pretty impressive. As the game takes place in the future, what sort of challenges do the developers face when it came to the realism, found in the Spec Ops?
The game is set in an undetermined future. We always say it's the near future, but we took a lot of pains to never really
give a date. Yeah.
It's safe to assume that the world outside of Dubai and Spec Ops is the world that you're in right now. But obviously, it's not, because right now Dubai is not covered in sand. It might be in the future. Maybe in the near future, but you can tell with the weaponry, the uniforms and everything, this is still a very modern time. We wanted people to be less focused on what's going on in the global world around them, which is one of the reasons we kind of left the year and the date out. Yeah. We didn't want people to be thinking, oh, well, this is while the Iraq war is going on, or something like that. We wanted them simply to be focused on the events that were in the city.
Yeah, because you know how we always had to deal with these recent like tsunamis with the earthquakes and stuff like that? You could never really picture a massive, you know, sandstorm to come out, even though they deal with sandstorms usually on like a daily or weekly basis, you know, and they just get to like, you know, brush it off onto the street and whatnot. But when you got to deal with something as massive as I saw with the sandstorm effects, you know, that was pretty impressive.
Thank you.
Now, I don't know about if we were able to talk about the multiplayer aspect. Has that changed since the beta pack in since 2010?
Well, that's an interesting question because, like, sure, it's called a beta, but the project was not a beta at that time. We were in actually a pretty early alpha stage, so people had a chance to get their hands on a very early build of our multiplayer, which was really useful for us. We gathered a lot of data, really good feedback, and, you know, you can tell since then we've had time to really go back and do a lot with that. We're not talking about the individual like features of multiplayer today. We're going to be rolling that out in a couple of weeks, but we're really excited to talk about it.
Well, that's great to hear. Now, why did we decide on this game, you know, did you go against co-op missions? Is there any chance of a co-op mission coming into play on this game or not?
That's another one of those things that we're really not able to speak about today. So today we're really focused on the single-player campaign. We do have a lot more to tell you about. There's going to be some reveals coming up soon. But actually, our goal, first and foremost, was to tell this story of these three characters going on this rescue mission. And everything else we're doing, to me, it works because of that story. It works because of what happens in single player. Everything grew out of that. And so that was our focus from the start of the project.
Now, hopefully this isn't redundant to that what we just were talking about. But for our last question, what we want to do is what can we expect from the overall gaming experience? Or what do you guys like the most about the fact of this game as is right now and how it's going to affect it when it comes out?
I think Corey should go first.
Okay. Sure.
I'm tired and I need a second.
Okay. Well, for me, the thing that's really been just mind-blowing about this project since the very beginning was the ability to take risks, to tell a story that's not just heroic and happy and makes us feel good, but is actually dark and, you know, it's unflinching and it's uncomfortable in a lot of ways. Like, just being able to work with a publisher that said, hell no, we're not willing to compromise on those things. And when we focus test and find out that we need to make changes, we're going to make those changes because we really want this thing to hit home emotionally with players. And I really love sort of the dark side of all of these things that we're working on. You know, I'm a big fan of horror as well and, you know, psychological thrillers and things like that. And being able to work on a game that really takes those things seriously and really delves into the psychological aspects of the mind of a soldier and the things he's dealing with, it's just been a great experience. It's been like, I wonder if I'll ever be able to have this type of amazing experience on a project ever again, because it was just wonderful to be able to just not take no for an answer and just go for the gold as far as making sure that we portray these things with as much care as we possibly can.
Yeah, I think for me, the thing that I'm most proud of is that when you play Spec Ops, one way or another, you're going to be emotionally affected. And, you know, we've been having focus tests on this thing, and I know there's one scene in particular that I can think of that, unfortunately, I can't tell you. So you just have to take my word for it. But, you know, people have got to the end of the scene. They have to pause. Some people have to pause the game and leave the room. Some people have to compose themselves. I know we did focus tests in the office with some people, and a couple of people I work with, after they had played through, they passed me in the hall and were just like, fuck you, Walt. Fuck you. And I think that we want to be emotionally affected by our games. You can tell this because of how excited people get when a game does emotionally affect them. But for some reason, we're afraid to make games that will make us feel. We kind of want our games, we've kind of capped out at, we want to feel like the hero, we want to feel like the cocky hero, or we want to feel like a scared little Asian girl. Like, these are the three that we're like comfortable doing. And with Spec Ops, I feel like we've made something that really can let people step into the shoes of another person and experience an emotional instance that they might never have in their own life. And at the end of it, really, hopefully maybe learn a little something more about themselves or think a bit more about when they play games. I mean, when you think about it, you pull a trigger on a controller, and the character you're controlling pulls a trigger on a gun, and on the other end of that gun, someone dies. It may not be real, but at the same time, in your day-to-day life, you would possibly never consider pulling the trigger of a gun, or let alone pointing it at someone in anger and doing that. Yet in a game, we're able to just completely disconnect. And there's nothing wrong with that, but at the same time, games being such an immersive experience, the only medium where we can truly inhabit and affect it, it's nice to be able to add something to that medium that allows people to think a bit more and feel a bit more when they're stepping into the roles of a character.
Well put. I mean, I can tell that because of the fact that I played, like, the game Homefront, and they gave you this one point where you started off, you're, of course... It's kind of funny, we're kind of in a Winnebago slash bus here, but you're in the bus, and you're kind of looking around and trying to see what's going on, and it gets to the point where, you know, there's a baby crying, and the parents just get shot, and the kid runs over, and it kind of messes with your head. So I think, you know, they also got the point across, and with this game, I'm sure they're going to get the point across. You guys are going to get the point across, definitely, most definitely, on this whole setup. Of, you know, the fact of the matter is we have people that are out there day in, day out, kicking ass, taking down, you know, the doors and everything like that, and they're seeing shit, and when they come back and people expect them to just fit in with whatever the hell's going on. I'm really glad that we had this interview, guys, and it's been a pleasure. We want to give you the rest, so, you know, whatnot. It's a pleasure, Corey.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Yeah, thank you very much.